Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, Episode 93. Today, the Amateur Traveler looks at life as an exchange student in Northern Italy.
I got my bags packed, I'm on a roll. I'm heading out there, and I'm ready to go. I'm looking real good in my passport photo.
Oh, no.
15-hour flight, oh, I don't think I'll ever be coming home. You know I love it. I got to see one more cathedral.
Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. I have one news story for you today, which didn't seem quite as appropriate on last week's show, which was focused on family travel. And that is that researchers in Argentina have determined that the cure to jet lag might be Viagra. In experiments with hamsters, they discovered that hamsters recovered 25 to 50% more quickly from the equivalent of human jet lag, needing less time to synchronize themselves to the new schedule when they took Viagra. This leads me with a lot of questions, like, why were these hamsters suffering from jet lag in the first place? And tell you what, you just supply your own Viagra hamster jet lag joke and put that as a comment to the show at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome to the show Davey Fields. Davey is an exchange student in Northern Italy in Parma, and I have invited him onto the show to talk about that experience. Davey, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris.
So you are not normally in Italy. You're normally going to school on the East Coast.
Correct. I go to Boston College.
And what led you to pursue being an exchange student, first of all?
When I got to school, the first year of Boston College, you have to take foreign language. And I had taken French all through middle school and then high school, but really hadn't enjoyed it very much. And I was sitting in the room staring at the list of languages because I had to pick something to take my freshman year. And I saw Italian down on the list, and I always knew in the back of my mind that I wanted to do some kind of study abroad. My dad had done it in Berlin and really, really enjoyed it and always talked about it. So I knew I wanted to do something, but sort of at that moment when I saw Italian, that sort of became a more of a progression because I always knew that Italy had this mystique, this sort of special something, so different than the United States and a lot of the other places in Europe. And as time went on and I learned more about the Parma program, I started to really, really get excited about the chance to get abroad for a semester.
And was there anything that tied specifically to your major, or was it more a general educational opportunity?
Nothing too specific. Some people had to come out and get credits done, do some independent study to make up some credits. But in my case, I'm a double major in political science and communications. And out here, I ended up taking a class of political science in Italian at the university for credit. But it was really more of a opportunity to go abroad. I didn't have to come out here. I didn't have to do anything. A lot of other study abroad programs in the United States now, the people can come to Berlin or France or England or any country, but they end up taking independent classes with U.S. professors in English for credit. What was great about the Parma program is that two of our classes were at the university in Italian with other Italian students.
Now, you didn't start studying Italian, though, till your freshman year, and you're in the second half of your junior year. So you had two and a half years of Italian, and you're now going to university in Italy.
And I actually only had two because I had had a hard time with Italian at Boston College, so I didn't take it the first semester because I was a little frustrated with it. Some people can do it well right out of the book, and I always sort of felt like with language in general, if I ever really got there and had to get into it, had to start using it, that it would all click. And it did. It took some time, but I live with a wonderful family out here. You certainly have to speak Italian, especially in Parma, to be able to eat, to survive out here. So once I got out here, it clicked, but it definitely was a little bit of a leap of faith.
And for those who aren't familiar with northern Italy, where is Parma?
Parma is basically in between Milan and Florence. It's about an hour and 10 minutes in a train from Milan, about 2 hours from Florence. Bologna is about 45 minutes away. It's a little close to the west. It's not a particularly large town, but it's famous for Parmesan cheese. The prosciutto is very big here. The head of European food safety just got set up in Parma. So the town has a lot of history. And fortunately, it is right in between so many other large cities that there's a lot of trains to get out and see the rest of Italy. So it was easy to travel.
And Parma itself is not that big?
No, it's not. The city center is nice, but you can really go about 10 minutes on a bike from the city center and you're going to hit pretty rural countryside, highways, farms. So it's not a particularly large city.
Okay. Now, going back to the Italian, the setup here, as I understand it, is you took Italian in college. You had a hard time with it, but you didn't let that deter you from being an exchange student studying in Italian.
No.
So we learn you're an optimist, first of all.
Yeah, a large optimist. I did think deep down that if I got out here, I would get it. So it was lucky that that actually proved to be pretty true. But
and your first day there then wasn't obviously classroom studies.
No, it wasn't. Our first week we spent in Florence doing a pretty intensive art history. We went down to Rome, saw the David, Last Supper, a lot of Michelangelo, the Sistine Chapel. We went to Parma a week later. The first 2 weeks were a lot of sort of orientation stuff. University classes didn't start until middle of February, and we got to Parma January 22nd. So we had a pretty good acclimation period before it got thrown right into intensive Italian. But even the acclimation period really didn't prepare me to be thrown in the very first day of class of 3 consecutive hours of lessons in fast, intense Italian with 100 kids in a lecture hall.
And you say we, you haven't just suddenly gone to, since you've been in Italy, gone to the third person here. You're with another group of students here.
No, I really, we're all survivors out here. There's 12 students from Boston College. In one of my political science class, it was just me and one other girl. But my Italian literature class, there were 5 of us in there. A lot of the stuff, thankfully, we were in a larger group. So when somebody missed something, maybe another person in the group would hear when the next class was or what we were even talking about in class. So it was definitely good to be in a group when this kind of comprehension stuff would come up.
And what kind of stories do you have for when language understanding goes wrong?
One of my personal favorites, and this ties in a lot of stories, because I was in my political science class, which ended up being a short class, which was funny because the very last day of class, once we got to the end of class and the professor said it was the end of class, me and my friend were really surprised because we had no idea that the class was only a half semester instead of a full semester. So that already tells you a little bit about, you sort of know what's going on, but especially political science, so much of the stuff is so abstract. Like you'll hear George Bush or Europa, these terms once in a while, but it just tended to be so fast. But about 2 weeks after the last class, we had our final. It was just an oral exam, 20 minutes with the professor, one-on-one in the room, talking about the books in the class, the material. And I was very, obviously, very, very nervous. And we went over there. I had read the stuff for a week. We had a tutor that we met with, but it was a challenge because it's like both can you even speak in Italian for 20 minutes and can you sort of talk to the material at the same time? And obviously, still everyone in Italy really likes to smoke, which sort of sets up this story, because I get in there with my teacher. In the first 10 minutes, he just sort of gruff says, okay, tell me about... It was funny how much of this world political science class was about the United States, because a lot of the questions related to politics of Woodrow Wilson, how some of his points had changed European history and European politics. So the first 10 minutes were really just questions about this material, saying what I knew. And then he pulled out a cigarette, my teacher, and said, "Posso fumare?" which means, "Can I smoke?" And kind of flabbergasted, I pointed at myself, and instead of saying, "You can smoke," I said, "Posso fumare?" right back to him, which means, "Can I smoke?" And he looked at me sort of surprised and said, "We have puoi fumare?" Like, and handed me a cigarette. I don't smoke cigarettes. He hands me a cigarette and hands me a lighter and sort of stares at me. So I am freaking out because it's a final exam. So I lit it up and started trying to smoke a cigarette with the guy completely on accident, like a complete mistake. But as soon as I started doing that, it sort of created this chummy atmosphere and the questions turned a lot more general. He started asking who I thought would win the next political election in the United States, what I thought of Italy. So it was a funny conclusion, but at the time when I realized that I had asked him, like, "Can I smoke?" just complete and utter misunderstanding.
You talked about getting out of Parma also and seeing more of Europe. What have you had a chance to see, and when do you get a chance to travel?
I've seen a lot. The second question is quicker. We tended to have classes Monday morning through Thursday afternoon, and then Thursday afternoon we would leave. Most of the time it would be a train to Milan and then a bus from that train station to the airport. So normally it would be sort of a Thursday to Sunday. We had two longer breaks. During my two long breaks over spring break, I went to England for about a week, and then I met up with a friend in Amsterdam. And then over a second week, I went to Vienna and Prague. But in between that, I also got out to Belgium. I saw so much of Italy, Milan, Rome, Venice. I'm going to South Italy next week, Torino, just so many of the places around Italy. And then a lot of the times you end up going through other countries. So on the way to Vienna, we stopped for a night in Bratislava in Czechoslovakia and got to see that. Going through Switzerland on our way back from other trips. So you get to see a lot more of Europe just because you sort of bounce through it on your way around. But I did definitely see a good portion of Europe in my time here.
And just in case your political science textbook is old, there is no Czechoslovakia anymore. But
that's right. Is it Slovakia?
Slovakia, or the Czech Republic.
Bratislava. It was only a night, and it was
I know how those textbooks can be out of date. It's not a problem. You talked about
Italy. The education system's still a little behind over here, so that would be there.
You talked about staying with the family. So part of this is a homestay.
Yeah.
How did that add to the experience?
Tremendously. Out of our 12, there's 5 people that live with the family. There's one other girl from Boston College who also lives here. But I live with the most wonderful woman named Nietzsche. I was worried when I got here that she wouldn't speak any English because I got a letter from her back in November before I came out, written all in Italian, sort of a funny, quirky little letter. And I wasn't too sure what it was going to be like, but she really opened up her arms. And just one of the biggest things for improving Italian was the 7 kids at BC that came out here. 7 of them lived at a villa, just a little apartment complex. And, well, I had Italian lessons with them and went home at night and kept speaking Italian at dinner, just talking to her about life. We would go out on little trips once in a while, go on hikes, go on walks. I would still continue to speak Italian. That was really, really big part of my improvement, was that just forcing you to just keep doing it, never stop. Versus somebody not in a homestay environment, they can speak in Italian for 3-4 hours a day in a lesson, but they go home and they stop. So living with a family was definitely a really big part of how I was able to improve as much as I did.
Now, as I recall, your father, you mentioned, was an exchange student also in Berlin, and he stayed with the family also, and you have met them over the years.
Yeah.
So they've actually stayed in touch now for at least 20 years.
Right. My dad was just out there in September and ran the Berlin Marathon. I met up with the daughter of the family he stayed with. So it's really interesting from his, from his experience, how much he stayed in touch. And I sort of foresee the same thing, because my homestay woman is just as tech oriented as I am. She's on Skype. She has a PowerBook. She really loves all this stuff. I came out here and I've been talking to her about iWeb, and she wants to know about RSS and HTML, which is HTML, but it took me a long time to figure out what she was talking about the first time. So, yeah, it's been great.
As you look back, and you've only got a few more weeks here before you head home again, what was the biggest surprise in this whole experience?
That's a good question. It was different than I thought it was going to be, but I couldn't really verbalize how I thought it was going to be. But I was surprised how much I just adjusted to this lifestyle, because when I got here, it really seemed so foreign. Just every little thing was different. The grocery stores, the classes, just the kind of kids, the way people dressed. And now just over time, almost everything. I've started getting used to the Italian, not that I had to get used to Italian food because it's just delicious, but just to all these different points that they sort of actually over time, I just got used to them. I think that was the biggest surprise, is that I just hit this point of like complete comfort with living abroad in Europe, because I never thought that was something that I would ever consider doing for a long stretch of time. But after this, I would happily head back out here to Italy or even any other part of Europe, because it's just a really, really different but really nice lifestyle.
Well, and now that you've taken up smoking, you'll fit in better too, so that's also...
Yeah, exactly. I can blend in a lot easier.
You mentioned that the grocery store is different, the dress is different for the students. How are those things different?
Well, the grocery store, it's just interesting, the style of the grocery store and stores in general. Like, for example, they don't sell medicine or a lot of that. They separate out a pharmacy from a grocery store. Mm-hmm. So you don't have nearly as much one-stop shopping. So when you're grocery shopping, we've gotten to the point where we're spoiled by big stores. There's like a Safeway on the West Coast or a Shaw's on the East Coast. But out here, you really could have to hit three or four markets to pick up your fruit if you needed something like aspirin. It's just a different experience. And the really funny thing with medicine with the pharmacies is you can't browse in a pharmacy. You have to go in there and tell them what you're looking for. And there's just no opportunity for you to sort of feel things out, because the only time I went in there, I was looking for allergy medication, and they sort of sat me down and really walked me through all the steps and wanted to see exactly what was going on. And I was just looking for a box that had a picture of a nose on it or something, something easy like that. The style of dress is harder to knock down. I think the funniest thing still, I was just outside at a soccer game. It's probably about 80 degrees here, and everyone is still in jeans. People wear jackets around. I stopped wearing long pants about a month ago, and I can't believe how many Europeans just keep dressing like it's 50 degrees well into the summer. That's one of the funnier things. And besides that, you are starting to see more American culture leak over, because we do have a lot of stores, not so many in Parma, but in the bigger cities where you see a lot of places that actually resell American clothing. I saw a lot of stuff from American Eagle in one store that was called America One Stop. They had a different logo on it, but I was actually wearing one of my shirts from American Eagle that was identical to this other shirt. So it's funny to see sort of the American influence seep in slowly, but Italy definitely still has its own persona, and it doesn't seem like they're going to give that up anytime soon.
And as you've gotten around, especially the local area near where you are, what's the one jewel that really stands out? Boy, if people are in this area, that you really ought to get to.
Around Parma?
Yeah.
Parma is a really nice city, probably for about a day. It's a wonderful city to live in terms of visiting. If you were to spend one day in Parma, it's a day that's centered around eating, because there's so many fabulous restaurants around. But there's a pretty fair amount of history. There's an art gallery over here that has a Michelangelo sketch in it that's beautiful. But in terms of location, pretty close, not in Parma, the Cinque Terre I got to about 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to try and figure out how to make it back one more time, because that has been the highlight of Italy for me and probably all my trips out here, because it was so beautiful, so well-preserved, very Italian, and just one of the best times I've had out here. Just gorgeous.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because we go there in mid-July, so.
You're going to enjoy it.
As you think about coming here to Italy, what do you wish you had known?
More Italian.
Okay.
It's probably best, like, I wish I'd known to let go of some of my American stuff sooner, because as I got here, I was still held on. I mean, after the first week in Parma, we could do whatever we want for lunch. And I ended up finding at a supermarket that sold American sliced bread, and I found cheese, and I started making myself grilled cheese sandwiches just because I was sort of a little homesick and trying to hold on to a little of that. But I think I really started to enjoy it more when I just sort of gave that up, you know, pick up a roll, pick up prosciutto, and just sort of go all in and not try and halfway it. And then in terms of travel and everything else, it's just that you want to pack as light as possible and just not stress on whether you have enough different outfits for your trip. But it's really just about convenience, because especially as a student traveling around, if you're hitting different hostels, you just want to have as a little as amount of stuff as you can in case something's stolen, because you have to be moving it all the time, because you have to pack it. That just really, when you're in Europe and you're, especially when you're moving around, you want to travel as light as possible.
Thinking of traveling light as possible, we just moved my son, as you know, back from college, and we filled up the back of a minivan completely with all his stuff, including a couch. You didn't take that sort of amount of things, I'm assuming, to Italy. So what did you take?
Going to school on the East Coast actually prepared me well, because have to live out of two suitcases back and forth every time. So it's funny, when you cut yourself down to those bare essentials, it really ends up being almost all clothes and sort of technology stuff, because nowadays it's just, you're packing your camera, your cell phone, your computer, your iPod. I have just all kinds of this technology stuff, and it's funny how much more and more of my just luggage and just personal possessions are just technology items. But yeah, it's funny living out of that. There was really no space to bring anything besides the bare essentials, because I was coming out here knowing that I couldn't really sub anything for 6 months. So, yeah.
You mentioned homesickness. How did you deal with the homesickness? What were your strategies? Besides grilled cheese sandwiches.
Sure. I got a lot of photos printed, put them up right away. I made sure I gave out my address to as many people as I could out here. Tried to stay in good contact. But after a certain point, you can't, if you dwell on it too much, that's when it gets worse. If I was ever sitting in my room sort of feeling sorry for myself, because it's almost a dual homesickness for me.
Sure.
Because, A, I miss California, my family, my friends out there. But at the same time, there was a semester of school at Boston College going on that I wasn't at. And I had so many of my roommates and friends back there. So it was almost, I felt like if I ever really started to get down to it, it could be something that was pretty depressing. So at those points, I always just tried to just push on and just find out what I enjoyed doing here, call up a friend, and just enjoy my time. Because this has been my favorite semester at school. Not at school, but of my college years, by far. Just so different, so much fun, so many new experiences. So it was more of a thing about getting past the first month of sort of feeling a little homesick. And now as I get in the final stretch, I'm starting to feel that, you know, I'm starting to get ready to come home again. But really, a lot of that stuff just got pushed out by how incredible the whole experience overall was.
And as you come home, what do you think you're going to miss from Parma?
Definitely Nietzsche. The lifestyle is something that is just different. And at first it was different and I didn't like it, because stores closed between 1 and 3:30 for the pausa, and things like that were annoying. But it's just, the lifestyle is really starting to grow on me about just how relaxed and how much easier people take it out here. Every day, there's two or three places around town that I like to go to get a cappuccino around the day. And every one of them, I walk in, I know all the people that work there by name, smiles, talk about how our days are going. I just miss that friendliness and this sort of this small town feeling, like this town's like adopted me already. More than any place around, you know, the United States, because it's that small town feel. But Parma's not even a city of 100. I think there's more than 100,000 people here. But Italians are so prone to being friendly and really just stop and take the time to talk to you and sort of figure out who you are. That's something I'm really going to miss, is all the people that I've met out here and that sort of closeness that there is.
Now, you mentioned this is going to be your, so far at least, your favorite semester. What are sort of three highlights that stand out for you that you're going to remember for the rest of your life?
Maybe I'll try one inside Italy, one outside Italy, and one that I think of after the first two.
Okay.
Outside Italy, traveling to Prague. I went to Prague for 3 days, and that was the most incredible city I had been in.
And what, I keep telling what country people, is that
in? That is in the Czech Republic.
There you go.
I keep telling people I ran out of words a long time ago. Like, I feel like I wish I'd studied English more, because everywhere I've been is really beautiful or really nice or really fun. so it's gotten hard to accurately describe how great it was. But Prague just has the most incredible combination of history, the sights, the city is just beautiful and just alive. And just of all the states that came out from underneath the Soviet Union, they're the ones that really have picked themselves up and sort of remade themselves so quickly. And it's just become a really dynamic place to go. And talking to my friends all over Europe, that's sort of the sentiment I hear a lot, is that Prague has become the new sort of it city. Because I also went to Amsterdam, which I think stereotypically would be more of the city that especially younger people would flock to. But it seems that Prague is sort of cutting underneath that and sort of really becoming the new sort of quintessential place you must go when you're abroad. I'm just recommending that to anybody who'll listen, to definitely get out to Prague if you have the opportunity. Inside of Europe or inside of Italy, it probably would have to be the Cinque Terre. We went out for 2 days, 2 days of waking up early in the morning, hiking around, 3 or 4 hours hiking, taking a leisurely lunch, and then normally just making it over to the beach, relaxing, going in the ocean, watching the sunset. Just the most peaceful, tranquil, natural, just gorgeous days that you can imagine. It just changes the people, too. You don't see anybody with a frown on their face. Everybody around is happy. There's no arguments. It's just there's just sort of this, like, environment, and there's just this aura around Cinque Terre of just total relaxation. It's just such a peaceful, really great place. And then the third highlight for me probably has just been in Parma. Some of the things I've said, living with Nietzsche, having someone like her who just from day one just opened up her home and heart wholeheartedly without any qualifications or anything, would do anything for me. Every night we talk, we stay in touch. So that's sort of within Parma. There's so many relationships in between me and I become really great friends with a lot of the Boston College students, obviously, as well. But those are friendships that, you know, the same sort of friendships I have back at BC. But it's in between somebody like Nietzsche, some of my teachers out here, some of my Italian friends that I've met, sort of these relationships that I've never had this kind of friendship with, like a friendship with somebody I speak in Italian with or somebody that I lived in their home for 6 months. So I think those would be the three.
As we wrap this up, any recommendations either for people who are heading to a exchange student program or people like me who are too old for that now, but now that you've lived as a European for a while, how we should handle going to Europe?
First, for the exchange students, I think the biggest thing about Parma is find the most authentic integrated program you can find and do it. I had friends who did programs in Venice and Rome and Milan, just all over Europe. And a lot of people enjoyed them, but they didn't speak in their native languages. On the weekends, they really just wanted to get out of there. And as I got to the end of the semester here, I really didn't want to even leave Parma and go other places in Europe. I wanted to stick around Parma. We would go to the park and we started playing basketball out with the kids there, just having days to walk around town. Just talk to the people, a lot of our friends from class we would meet up with and do stuff on the weekends. So for people that are studying abroad, I would just avoid those big stereotypical programs, stereotypical cities, and really sort of poke further in, because every country has a big one. Like France, you could do Paris, but France is littered with these other small towns, and maybe it's a program that's not even from your school, but that you want to try and find the most authentic thing you can do, because this is really your only chance that you can completely translocate for 6 months only, other than if later on in life you wanted to completely move for 10 years of your life. But it's, you're never going to just quickly switch lifestyles and just take on this completely new opportunity in life like you can in a really small independent program like the Parma program here. And then for people visiting Europe, I think the more you can stay out of just the big guidebook stuff, just hitting the big sites and going down a list and deciding, you know, if I go to Rome, I got to go and see the Sistine Chapel and the fountain, the Spanish Steps. And if you really sort of open up your eyes and stop in the city and take the time to appreciate what makes Italy, Italy, or Spain, Spain, or anything else. Because in Italy, one of the big things is that maybe it seems silly in the afternoons that everybody sort of stops and just walks around and smiles and stops for a cafe at the bar. But that's a big part of sort of the European life, because you can easily visit cities and see all the sites, but you don't really know what the city's like until you really do some of the stuff that the locals are doing. So my advice probably for somebody coming out to Europe is to just sort of try and get your finger on the pulse of the city or the country and just try and live like those people for one day. Maybe don't go to the restaurant that's in the guidebook, but, you know, walk off into a neighborhood and just hit some local place and see what it's like in there.
Well, thanks. Davey, it's been great having you on the show. I look forward to seeing you when you get back here in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
This show seems like a good place to remind you that the Amateur Traveler comes in two versions. One is audio only, and the other is the iTunes enhanced version, which does include pictures. And so if you want to see lovely pictures from Davey's travels, make sure you're looking at the iTunes enhanced version, either in iTunes on Windows or Mac, or using a modern iPod. For resources, I have a few different internet resources that would be useful to you in your travels in Europe. The first one is Hostel World, hostelworld.com, which is where you can find the latest information about hostels in various countries. The second thing is, if you're going to be a student traveling in Europe, you'll want to know top 10 things you can do in Europe for free, which is an article from about.com. I'll put a link to that in the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. The other information I have for you is that Google also has language tools which let you do translation, and they are also available in SMS form from your cell phone, so that if you have a cell phone that works in Europe, you can use Google's SMS to translate things on the fly if you want to know what that sign or that menu is saying. I'll put a link to that also in the show notes. And then finally, I have a link that I'll put in the show notes to wikitravel.org and their article about discount airlines in Europe. You heard Davey mention that they would often go to Milan and fly to various places. There are a number of ways to do that inexpensively in Europe, so check out that link also in the resources section of this show's notes. As well as being in the show notes, those can also be found in the iTunes enhanced version of this show. I got an email recently from one of the former guests on the show, Anne, who was a guest on the show on Turkey a while back, and she had just gone to Yosemite, taking advice of this show. We've done two different shows on Yosemite, was planning on biking. That didn't end up working out, but she did send us a link for pictures that she took in Yosemite. So if you're thinking about a trip there, check out, again, the show notes for the link to Anne's pictures. With that, we'll bring this show to a close. I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email at host@amateurtraveler.com or look at the many different ways that you can contact me at amateurtraveler.com/contact. And as always, thanks so much for listening.
I got to see one more cathedral. I got to sit in one more cafe. I know that I should be heading home, but maybe not today.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.